Should we be playing form over fixtures? And it's time to sort out midfield matters. Plus, we finally, actually, have a panellist wildcarding. Hello, FPL Pod, back with you on a Thursday. And before we go any further, I want to start by saying bon anniversaire, happy birthday to a third of our regular lineup, Julian Laron, because confession, myself and our other panellist, Sam Bonfield, were chatting away to him on Tuesday and then realised about 11 o'clock at night it was his birthday. So this is our way of apology, Jules.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. 32 years old, you know, it's time is
looking
flying,
remarkable,
really, when
yeah.
you're having fun. Yeah.
I need to find out what moisturiser you're using. Right, okay. I'm still not convinced by that, to be honest. But anyway, I also noticed not too many FPL points, but we'll come to that in just a moment.
I blame Sam Bonfield. I've got my blaming card.
Okay, well, I'm going to make you hold that thought. We can have that debate, that argument, as I'm sure it'll be very shortly. But let's bring in our third and final guest this week, because he's a very special guest. This week, we have an Olympic gold medalist in the house. He's a gold medalist in alpine skiing. So welcome along to Kjetil Landsrud. Kjetil, great to have you on the podcast. I hear you're a massive FPL manager as well.
Well, first of all, thank you. So I'm happy to be here. It's going to be interesting to talk about my fantasy Premier League team. I don't know if I'm that good, but I enjoyed.
Okay, that's the main thing. If you don't enjoy it, there is no point in playing. So tell us, what's been good? What have you enjoyed about this season so far? Any success stories?
Well, the Norwegian success stories, for sure.
Of course.
With Ødegaard finally, like, really finding his role in Arsenal and getting up the points. But yeah, also the biggest talking point to all Haaland, which I've had from game week one, which has been a massive, massive positive thing in my FPL team, for sure. So that makes it more interesting with Norwegian Ice also to watch the Premier League in itself, but also definitely fancy Premier League. So sitting on a rank of around 900k, I'm not like super happy, but those guys have actually racked up some points.
Yeah, we actually said on last week's podcast that at this stage of the season, ranking can change. All it takes is one good captaincy, one good haul, and your ranking can change. So to be inside the million at this point is really strong. I'm interested, you said there about Haaland, of course, brilliant start, like remarkable start to the season in the Premier League. What's been the response to that in Norway? Did everyone just expect him to come to the Premier League and take to it as well as he has?
Well, I think people were a little split. You know, he had such a good career coming off from Dortmund, and you had half the people wearing like, he's going to fail. This is the big league. This is the league of men now. And like, now we're going to see how good he really is. And then the other half, including me, was like, this guy seems to be out of this world. Of course, he's going to, you know, rack up the goals with the front line that City already has, and he's proved that half right as well. And now there's kind of a whole on euphorism in Norway these days, where you know he's on the front page everywhere, and he's getting to that like superhero status that he almost already have, but now it's going through the roof. Now the only issue we have now is that we expect him to put in 3-4 goals at the national team as well. Which he hasn't, unfortunately. But his skills are amazing. So brilliant to watch. Tough for a Liverpool fan, but enjoyable nonetheless.
Oh, you're a Liverpool fan as well. Yeah, that is unfortunate. Not unfortunate. It's obviously not unfortunate. I meant Haaland to go to your kind of direct title rivals, especially given how your season started. One other question I've got for you before we move on to the game week that was and looking ahead. How did you get into FPL? I'm intrigued. Is it a big thing in amongst the skiers? Is it how did it come about? Or are you just a massive football fan, so it just came hand in hand with that?
Yeah, the last one. I've been a massive football fan for many years, and I have a lot of friends that are not skiing that went into France Premier League at an early point. So I've been playing for quite some season now, and I've been recruiting all the alpine skiers into Fantasy Premier League as well. So they're slowly making their way in. But at least now that I retired in the spring, it's to have that sort of competition among friends, the feel of like, you know, watching the game week every week, trying to beat your friend. Gives me a little bit of that sports feeling again. So
Yeah, that competitive edge, I imagine it never goes. Also, it's true, isn't it? Like when you're watching games that maybe you wouldn't be interested in otherwise, FPL gives you another reason to really be interested. We know that Jules watches every football game going anyway, so he'd be interested regardless. Anyway, let's look back on game week 9 then, shall we? Because Sam, it was a bit of a mixed bag, wasn't it, really?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we had 3 hat-tricks, we had 3 red cards, we had multiple injuries. And then we had some key differentials getting absolutely huge hauls. So it felt like a game week where either you got huge, huge points or you just missed out on those hauls. And that was a difficult one to take, I think. You know, for me, I obviously sold Jarrod Bowen going into this weekend, as I told you on the pod last week. And on Saturday evening, I was not a happy bunny, sitting there watching West Ham thinking, what on earth have I done? And of course, I'd swapped him in for James Maddison, who I had to wait all the way for Monday night to know whether I'd done the right thing or not. And it is, sometimes it's a little bit stressful, isn't it, this FPL management? And you kind of think to yourself, oh, have I made a big mistake? Have I totally misread this? But, you know, when you've got players like, you know, if you ended up with Haaland and Foden and Trossard in your team and managed to get 3 hat tricks, what a game week you would have had.
Okay, so last week, the big talking point on the pod, if you missed it, Sheffield, was whether Jules was going to wildcard. Jules, I had so many messages. It makes me realise that people do listen to this podcast and maybe they're actually interested in what you have to say. People asking me, did Jules wildcard? You kept your cards close to your chest. You didn't even tell us in the WhatsApp group.
No.
Did you do it?
So, Shetty, just so you know, Kelly and Sam, they're the big boss here. They're the pros, especially Sam.
Not me. You know, definitely not me.
Sam, yeah. I trust them, like, literally with my life. Again, it's more Sam than Kelly. But anyway.
Yep.
So when I was thinking about wildcarding, and you know, and Sam said, no, don't do it this week. You know, you've got Salah in your team. If I had Salah, I'd captain Salah, you know, forget about this Norwegian guy that is, you know, average. So I was like, okay, what should I do? So then, you know, because I trust her so much, didn't play my wild card. Big mistake.
Captain Mo Salah. Right.
Even big me, I'm still crying. Look at, I'm SMH, I'm shaking my head since Saturday and Sunday. I was like, oh my words.
Right. To be fair, I don't think I've ever called Haaland average. Ever. I mean, ever, he is by far.
She wouldn't be allowed on this podcast if she did.
That's he's true. By far and away the best player in the league at the moment. However, Jules, I still stand by what I said. I don't think your team needed a wild card. I think it's still set up well for the next few weeks. The Salah captain thing is really, really difficult because had I owned him, I honestly would have captained him going into this weekend.
It made sense.
It's this difficult one, isn't it? Because it's such a fine balance in FPL between going with the form player, which is clearly Haaland, in a what should be difficult match against, you know, their rivals in Manchester United, or going with somebody like Mo Salah, fantastic record against Brighton, but not quite hitting the heights. But we'd seen a couple of returns from him in the Champions League and on international duty, you know, starting to think maybe he was coming back. I apologise, Jules. However,
I was only joking. It was, and I was with my friend Jack Daniel, who's a big player who loves the show as well. And he also did the same. He captained Salah. And we were together, and as the goals were going in and the assist, our faces literally were dropping. My kids had Captain Haaland, of course, so you could imagine the, you know, all the banter. It was just crazy. It was a crazy day. But well done to all the Haaland captain, Shetil, of course, all the people in Norway, all the Haaland family. I congratulate them for making me lose 23 points, really.
If it helps you, Jules, though, I actually did a worse thing to my 8-year-old who's playing for the first time this year, because I'm helping him to manage his team and helping him to play. So every Friday we sit down and we discuss his team going into the weekend. And we did that on Friday. We sat down, he'd brought in James Maddison. You know, we were like, right, okay, this is looking great. He set up his team, put the captain's armband on the right place. Somehow didn't hit save. So his team, when I looked at it after the deadline on Saturday, had Madison Ward and Luis Diaz sitting on his bench. And he was just like, mummy, what's happened? And I was like, Max, I'm sorry, dude. But I mean, actually, to be fair, he still had quite a good game week. He still got 81, I think. So he still did fine. But he would have been in the top 10K had he played the players that he was supposed to be playing this week. And the mum guilt, I'm telling you, Jules, was real. So I feel worse on him than I do for your captaincy decision.
How has it taken us 9 game weeks into the season to discover that both sets of children, the Bonfields and the Luan children, are playing FPL and it's not been mentioned? You've kept this very quiet. We should be following their progress, I feel.
And to be fair, Max is having a phenomenal season. Like, he's been in the top 100K for the last few weeks.
If he wants to be in the FPL family, he needs to be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
I think he's in the genes, you know. It's why they, Sam and Lee, give the children.
Cecil, going back to the last game week and some of the frustrations that came with it, I was at Fulham versus Newcastle. And I'll be honest, as a non-Alexander Mitrovic owner, when the players came out, all of the Fulham players came onto the pitch, I couldn't see Mitrovic and I was thinking, I've got away with one here because he's a player that's been on my watch list. Then he was named on the team sheet. So the emotions went, oh, no, I'm going to be punished here. Then he came off in that first half as an owner. That must be really frustrating and also pretty worrying going forward.
Oh, yeah, for sure it is. I think last news says he's out for at least 2 weeks. But I brought him on with my wild card, of course. It's a big hit. But from what I've seen from him this season, I'm going to keep him there for a little while. Yeah. So not removing him straight away. He also scored a fantastic goals against Norway in the Nations League. So it's like a classic FBL loss. You come in late, you get those players, and then they either get injured or get a 0 point haul. Done it way too many times.
Yeah, the worst is when they get a 0 point haul, but it isn't because they haven't played. It's because they have played. They just haven't got enough points. Mm. And then you don't even get a sub coming in. That's the most frustrating part, isn't it? Another thing that we should also check in on, we've kind of alluded to the fact that this week it was a lot more over form players rather than the players that we picked with good fixtures. Sam, this also throws up all of the issues once again when it comes to Arsenal and Manchester City, doesn't it? I was almost desperately hoping, and this is not because I'm a Spurs fan, I was almost desperately hoping that Arsenal didn't do anything in the derby because I wanted a reason to sell them. But the fact that they did well in that game, Jesus returning again, makes it harder to sell them. And that blank is just getting closer in game week 12.
I mean, I was hoping from all perspectives that they were going to blank game week 9.
How many minutes into the podcast? It's only just come up now.
Of course we didn't. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Kelly. It's becoming really difficult now, isn't it? Because Manchester City and Arsenal both blanking in game week 12. You know, I feel like we talk about this a lot, but it's so important right now because they are the two informed teams in the league. They are the two that at any other moment, you just all out invest in. You'd be bringing in players to fill up your three Arsenal spots, your three Manchester City spots. And you wouldn't even think twice about it. But right now, FPL managers are struggling with that because you're sitting there thinking, if I bring in another Manchester City player or another Arsenal player, if I triple up on Arsenal now, I'm causing myself an issue for game week 12, unless you've still got your wild card to play or unless you're prepared to use your free hit in game week 12. I think right now what we are seeing is that, yes, look at the fixtures. They are important. And of course, you get teams who do perform really well, like we saw with Madison and Bowen and Leicester and West Ham this week when they had nice fixtures. But what we also saw is teams like Arsenal, like Manchester City, who had a difficult fixture this week, but were still the ones to go with. So I think you just have to think about your strategy really carefully when it comes to those two teams and make a decision about what you're doing, because not having Manchester City players for this week against Southampton and even these Arsenal players against a Liverpool defence that's been really shaky feels like it's going to be a tough watch again if you're not invested.
Jules, you're Mr. Arsenal. What are you doing with your Arsenal players at the moment?
I only have Gabriel Jesus because you remember at the start of the season, I had this theory that, you know, woke me up at night one night that I should only have one player of the big six attacking wise.
That is madness. Yeah. Sorry.
What do you mean it's madness? I was in the top 800K before, you know, I listened to Sam Bonfield last week. So I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Now I'm 1.9 million just for not captain, you know, not the captaincy of Haaland. And yeah, so I only have Gabriel Jesus and Haaland really from the City and Arsenal perspective, but I completely agree. Sam, I think it's hard if you've got, I don't know, Saliba or Zinchenko, for example, Gabriel Jesus, Martinelli, even Saka, who all return, whether it was an assist or a goal, Xhaka maybe for some as well at the weekend, to almost kind of let go. The Liverpool game is a tough game, but after that, it gets better, although there's that blank week, of course. So, I mean, keep your two transfer free, I guess, if you don't have a wild card anymore or if you can't really do it and at least use that going into that blank week for City and Arsenal and do the best you can.
Yeah, Sam, that's your plan, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the problem I have with this is that if you don't have your wild card left to play straight after the blank, and this is why I was so keen for you to hold yours last week, Jules, that when you come back in from game week 12 into game week 13, the fixtures for City and Arsenal, it's like, yes, I want three attackers from both of those two teams. And so if you're an FPL manager that's now thinking, well, I've got to take some of these players out in order to get through game week 12, you're going to then be using the transfers again afterwards to bring them back in again. So it's a really different juggle and a balancing act. And I think you just have to have a bench that's set up with playing players who can come in, so that it enables you to bench your three Arsenal or your three Man City. For me, I only have the one Manchester City attacker in Haaland, and my other two Man City players are defenders in Edison and in Cancelo. I am looking at making a change of that. So I'm happy to sell my defenders after they play Southampton in game week 10, knowing then that come game week 13, I'll just fully invest in that Manchester City attack instead. So that will give me the opportunity to not have to sell my players like Haaland and even like Martinelli, who I'm heavily invested in terms of the value that they've gone up since I've owned them.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your team now and you've got three City players, Cancelo, De Bruyne, Haaland, and one Arsenal player in Martinelli. What's your plan for the blank game week?
Most likely using my two, I have two substitutions now. I'm going to use those. And then I'll get two new for the blank game week and probably play with one free spot open. I'm contemplating using the free hit, but probably just let one be open and see if Billy, Andreas and Patterson can play and then take that hit and then use my new two transfers to get in top Arsenal players, so I can play probably 3-3, which feels like somewhat of a gamble, but they look strong, and I think Arsenal also in defense would be like keep on stronging. The only thing that has been troubling me is selling my offensive line to get back half of what I bought them, and then have to rebuy them at a later point, which is going to take a big hit on my economy. So just going to leave it as it is now, I think, and hope they get like such a big point haul now going in towards the game week 12 that I can afford not having them play in game week 12 and still be okay.
Yeah, there's so much at play when you're making these decisions, isn't there? The fixtures in between, the money you've got invested, whether you're going to want them back, of course. These blank game weeks don't do much for us FPL managers, do they? Okay, well, we've discussed the Arsenal and City kind of debate, but let's look now at one of the positions that's causing a few managers a few headaches. It feels like there's a lot of popular, similar players in defence. We know that we all want Haaland, and there's a few good players in the forward positions that we're targeting in on, but midfield feels like a little bit more of a minefield. So we thought we'd dive in a little bit deeper. Firstly, the first place to start with this is Mo Salah, because he's been a conundrum for us all season. Myself and Sam no longer have him. Jules, you're clinging on to him, aren't you? You've just about still got him in your team.
Yeah, but he's going to go whenever I play the wild card, or even when I don't play the wild card, because you watch him again in the Champions League in midweek and it was not good enough for him.
Chetil, do you have him? I don't think you do, do you?
I had him until game week 3 or 4, I think. And I thought, like, knowing the team, I saw kind of a trend there that I didn't like. So I think bringing him off, I had both Diaz and Salah at one point, and then I brought in Salah first, getting Kevin De Bruyne, which looked better, I felt like. And as a Liverpool fan, it's a little hard to take him out, knowing Salah's history and the point hole he usually gets. But I think that was a good choice. And right now, how they're looking at it, it's not coming back anytime soon, unless, of course, Thiago is back from injury. They really, get their shape back. But then, I think you can afford waiting a couple of games to see if they really, get back on track. And then he'll be back in, because that man's quality sure brings in the points. So, yeah. And another point that I would say is, like, when is the Pep rotation really going to hit, right? Because right now I feel like both with De Bruyne and Haaland, they've been racking up points, and I'm just, my biggest nervousness is actually now sitting in a couple of game weeks and seeing Haaland not play a game, then Kevin is out, and then like that would gonna destroy my whole FPL plan. So then we'll see if we'll move back to Liverpool players. We'll see.
It was good to see him go off early last night, actually, wasn't it? There was a few people that were like, yeah, is he gone off early because he's injured? But then he was running around on the pitch at the end thanking the fans, and I kind of felt the whole FPL community go, oh, that's actually great news, because that should mean that is his rest and hopefully plays at the weekend. But as you said, we do just never know, do we? That's the problem. Sam, in terms of Salah, we've seen him get assists. We have seen him provide some returns. But why is he not getting the level of returns from last season? Is it just as a result of Liverpool's dip in form, or is it something maybe more to do with his position within the team?
I think it's both, Kelly. I think, his dip in form is definitely a valid point. He isn't playing at the same level that he was last time. I mean, and to be fair, it's been really the whole of 2022 that Salah's not quite hit the height. Since he returned from the African Cup of Nations, he hasn't felt like quite the same player that went to that tournament. He's just not been quite as he was. And we've not seen those prolific hauls that we were getting at the beginning of last season. And I think in part that coincides with the changes in the Liverpool system, you know, the loss of Mane, the changes in the personnel that they now have up top, getting used to new players and new systems in Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez. So there is a lot of change happening at Liverpool, and Lee describes it as being a bit of a transition season. And I can see that. Like, it feels very much like Liverpool are just learning how to be themselves again. And Salah's position as a result of all of these new players, as well as the injuries that we've seen in the midfield in particular, without that kind of structure that supports the defence, means that there's been a lack of connectivity for me between the attacking midfielders and the defenders. And normally that's so important in the way that Liverpool play, with the balls coming from Trent and from Robertson and making their way up quickly to the forward line. And that's been missing for me this time around. Salah's also been playing a little bit wider this season, and that means more likely to get the assists. And we've seen that his XA numbers have improved a lot on last season, but his XG numbers are massively down. And obviously, when you're going to spend that level of budget on a player, you want them to be returning both the XG stats, the XMA stats, as well as the expected goal involvement stuff. You want all round from that level of play. So it's tough. I think you had to keep him last week, Jules, for that Brighton game. But now we're going into a couple of tough fixtures where they're going to play Arsenal and they're going to play Manchester City. I don't think you need to be invested in Salah for those two fixtures, particularly after the performance that we got from him in midweek. Again, it didn't feel as the Salah that we all know and love.
Surely, Jules, when he's playing your boys, it's time to get rid, isn't it? Think what you can spend all that money on.
But I mean, I should have got rid a long time ago. It's just that you always felt, okay, maybe the form is coming back. Remember there was that Newcastle game where somehow you got two assists and you think, okay, maybe that's the kick that's going to kickstart his season. Then the Bournemouth game and then the Champions League game as well where he's scored. I mean, he scored the penalty, for example, against Rangers. But apart from the penalty in midweek, like we said, it was not good enough from him. So even if they change the system and play the 4-2-4 or 4-4-2, really, that they played against Rangers, against Arsenal again on Sunday, which is very possible, and suddenly they looked more balanced and the structure looked better, especially defensively. I'm not sure he will be back to his best as early as this weekend for sure, and then even after that. So I think it's time for me to say goodbye to Mo, which would be hard. I think it'd be hard for a lot of the managers.
Come on, give us some decision. Are you selling him this week or not?
Yeah, but this week I'm going to captain Haaland. And oh, shit, by the way, there was one week, game week four or something, that I didn't captain Haaland and he had an amazing game. And I swore that I would always captain him regardless of whoever he played against. So, you know, and obviously I didn't do it last weekend. So it's be him, and I'm going to play the wild card, and Mo Salah is going to go.
You're going to play the wild card now?
Yeah, I'm going to play the wild card.
Oh, now. Gosh. Yeah, you've got this far into the podcast and he's just admitted it.
I have to say.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure now. And I think I'm going to bring Trossard, Maddison, someone like that. You know, Maddison, you were right. All along, Trossard as well, you were right. I didn't think, no one thought that he could have a hat-trick at Anfield, of course, but we said with the Zerbi, this team is going to play so nice attacking football and someone will benefit massively from it, and it would be him. So, yeah.
Actually, let's just remind ourselves of what our very own Sam did say last week about Leandro Trossard. We had Az on the podcast, of course, a big Brighton fan. I think she was just trying to be nice and kind of remind him that, don't worry, it's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean a Liverpool win when Brighton go to Anfield. But this is what she said about Trossard.
Az, do you know that Trossard has never blanked at Anfield? In every match in the Premier League, he's played there.
Is that true?
So there you go. If you want a differential for this week, maybe keep Trossard in.
Of course.
Of course she knows what she's talking about. Sam, a wonderful piece of advice, but even you couldn't have expected that, could you? However, in the longer term, Trossard is one of these midfielders that surely we do all have to look at, as Jules is saying there, because his form is better than a lot of the premiums.
100%. And, you know, in the early part of this season, everyone was talking about Gross and how great he was. And he was. And he still is, right? But Trossard has the history and the pedigree in seasons gone by in terms of FPL. We always know that we can kind of rely on him to just tick over the points. Now, if we're going to see this attacking Brighton team, and by the way, I didn't feel like, I know they conceded three goals, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of compromise to their defensive play, which is kind of what a lot of the suggestions were going to be, that Brighton were going to just forego all defending and go all out attack. Well, that's not what we saw. We did see some good defending from Brighton, and they were probably unlucky not to win that game, to be honest. But Trossard was the heartbeat of that team again. And I think, you know, going into the next few weeks, got Spurs up in game week 10. Well, the Spurs defence, as Jules knows very well from having watched them against Arsenal, just isn't quite clicking at the moment. There's a lot of injuries. Of course, now there's the red card for Emerson Royale, so he's going to be suspended as well. So there'll be more changes in that Spurs defence. I don't see any reason why Brighton can't score against Spurs. And then after that, the fixtures do start to get better again for Brighton. They are a little bit of a mixed bag over the next few weeks, but they are improving. And at the price point that you're going to pay for Trossard, I think he is the perfect fourth or fifth midfielder.
There's a lot of value in the cheaper midfielders, isn't there, Chetil? If we look at it, we talked there about Salah, the only premium really at the moment that is crying out to be in our teams, but probably we've got a bit of hesitation over because of the blank in game week 12 and because of worrying about whether he starts or not under Pep Roulette, is Kevin De Bruyne. He's been brilliant for you, but is he the only premium worth spending that money on at the moment?
It's the only premium that I've decided to spend money on, at least.
I was trying to give you credit, and I was trying to say, yeah, well, I think that was a great decision.
I feel like in trying to know all the players and having control over all the budget midfielders that are out there, I feel like I'm always picking off the wrong one. And it's super easy. No, it's super easy to look at the last game. And
sort of not
you get like, so what I would do, like I pick up Madison this week, which is, I mean, not a super premium, but it's still expensive. Because he had a great last week and I didn't pick him last week, and at least now I'm going to do it. Now he's probably going to have an awful game week. But I think right now I would say De Bruyne is the one to have. And you know, Son would probably be interesting as well, but it hasn't, you know, racked up that many points. So for me, I'm going to stick with De Bruyne and then fill up with less expensive players in the midfield for sure.
Do you know what, Jules? If you are going to wildcard this week, why don't you take a little punt on Sterling? I mean, I think for me, he might be the premium one.
He's on my
list. Yeah, I think he might be the premium player in the midfield that just can break the template. I mean, he's Chelsea's top goal scorer so far this season. He averages 6.25 points per match against game week 10 opponents, Wolves. That was obviously whilst he was playing for his former club. But nonetheless, good underlying stats against Wolves. He's returned in four of his last four matches against them in the Premier League, and of those, three were double-digit hauls. He's also benefiting from being the top player in the Chelsea squad for goal attempts, as well as having had more touches and more passes in the final third than anybody else. And Wolves have just parted company with their manager. They've got a lot of injury problems, particularly defensively. And Aubameyang is seeming to give them that kind of focal point up top that they really have been lacking for the last couple of years. So I wonder actually at 10 million whether Sterling might just be somebody that if you are thinking about, you know, selling out some of your premium assets, the likes of Salah, or, you know, you're pondering on whether it's time to part company with KDB purely because, by the way, I wouldn't do this week having had a rest in the Champions League. But if you are thinking I've got to get ahead to game week 12 and I need someone to replace him with, then I think Sterling could be a nice option, particularly for Salah replacements.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was good against Milan on Wednesday night in the Champions League. He gave the assist to Reece James, for example, on the overlap, which I think is something he can do a lot under Potter in the way that they use their fullback. So I think you're right. He was on my list for sure. If the money adds up and everything is right, I really think. And their fixture list is, you mentioned obviously the Wolves game, then it's Villa away, then Brentford away, United at home, Brighton away, Arsenal at home. So it's not, you know, there's some tough games there, of course, and I don't expect them to win all of them 5-0 or 4-0. But there's some very interesting fixture for someone like him, who obviously, if the team keeps improving collectively, which I think we saw against Milan on Wednesday, plus his own individual brilliance that he can do, you know, he can score on his own pretty much without the help of anybody else. I think it could be a very interesting pick.
Sam, a word on Son, because sorry to bring up the North London derby again. I'm not doing this on purpose. You know, I'm never team Jules in these kind of debates, but we had all the excitement, didn't we, after the Leicester game. Oh, Son's going to be back with his hat trick off the bench. Then it was a quieter performance against Arsenal. How are you feeling about him?
To say the least.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because Son's best performances so far this season have come when Perisic hasn't been on the pitch. When we play the traditional Spurs team that we played last season, when he's been up top with Kane on his own, in that game against Leicester, for example, he's been much, much better. And when Perisic has been subbed off towards the end of games, we've seen an improvement in Son's performances for the moments before he's then been subbed off for whoever it is that Conte's changing for. And of course, he played really well for South Korea in a system that he knows and likes. I think for me, Son is one of these players who is very much driven by confidence, but it's almost that muscle memory thing with him. Like, he knows where he should be. And when there's somebody else that's kind of overlapping his position, he's not quite sure what to do. And he's definitely less effective because Perisic has been taking those positions that you would normally find Son in. He's also taken over some of his set pieces in terms of corners. And whilst Kane seems to have linked up with relative ease with Richarlison, and the two of them have formed a really nice bond where they're able to see each other and find each other nicely on the pitch, with Son and Richarlison, we've just not quite seen that click yet from the two of them. So I think there's a lot to be said for Son just needing time for him to understand this new Spurs team. And as a result of that, even with a couple of nice fixtures coming up, I just don't think you can invest the level of money that you need to spend to have Son in your team. He's too expensive. I'd rather have somebody like Kane, like Richarlison, who seem to be more regularly ticking over the points right now at Spurs.
Okay, so we've covered off a lot of the big premiums, or the ones that we are most likely to be looking at the moment. We've touched upon Leandro Trossard. Let's just go in the bracket in between that. We've already alluded to James Maddison. He, as it stands, like Shetil, is going to be my transfer in this week. But I'm also wondering whether I should do Zaha instead, just because it feels like everyone's jumping on Maddison at the moment. Zaha is also a little bit cheaper. Who's the better option there, Jules, if I was to make one transfer, or is Maddison almost going to become essential soon, given the form that he is showing?
I mean, Maddison is on fire, really. You said he's still only owned by 13%, which is it's high, it's not a differential, but it's still quite low considering that he's been on great form. Mm. Leicester haven't, but he certainly has individually. And that game against Forest, Forest was so naive to give him so much space and so much time on the ball, the free kick, etc. I thought Barnes looked really good in that game too. And I mean, his ownership is ridiculous. It's less than 2%. So if you want to go for Maddison, you can. If 8.1 million is a bit too expensive for you, I think Barnes at 6.9 could be a very good option. I think Zaha too, and the fixture list for Palace is quite, as we said last week, is quite interesting too. I mean, if I can just throw, and I know we said about City assets because of that blank week, but Jack Grealish is playing maybe the best football of his career, even better than Aston Villa. He even said last night after the win against Copenhagen that he feels so much confident now. He's got a big smile on his face. He's got clearly the trust of Pep because he keeps playing now. He keeps playing him game after game. If Grealish at 6.8 million with very, very low ownership, again, less than 2%, I think that might be an interesting pick because he was amazing against United. He was amazing against Copenhagen. You could see him keeping putting those kind of performances now that he found his rhythm. And I think he found his place in that team, which was not easy to do because he's such an amazing team. But now finally he's there, and I don't think Pep would drop him. And I think that it could be very interesting for the game.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Jules. I think Jack Grealish is in the form of his life right now. If it wasn't for the fact that they're blanking in game week 12 and I've already got three Man City players, I would 100% have Jack Grealish in my team right now. I don't think I've ever seen him look as confident and as at ease on the pitch. I mean, his face when Haaland scored that goal last night was hilarious. And it was testament to how comfortable he feels and how good that City setup is right now. And I think, you know, you can have Foden and Grealish for almost the same price as you can have KDB. Not quite, but almost. And being able to invest three times over in that Manchester City team for the price that you've got to pay for the likes of Foden and Grealish is just a phenomenal gift that we have right now. So I think depending upon the way your strategy is working and, you know, how you are planning to play through the blank, investing in them is a great idea right now.
Before we move on to rounding off this section with some budgets, as the Liverpool fan on the podcast, Shetil, let's also touch base on Luis Diaz, because I went through the full range of emotions with him last weekend as well when he was benched, kind of knowing he was probably going to be benched, but I didn't want to make any transfers, and then thinking, it's okay, if he comes off the bench, he'll return. And then he did. He got the assist in game week 9. How's he looking? Is he worth holding in terms of the Liverpool attack at the moment? Is he the best option at his price?
Yeah, I think for Liverpool, he's the best option for his price, I think. But I do, you know, had this dream of him being the new Mane, and he hasn't been in some ways, hasn't really gotten the returns that I would hope he got. So for me personally, I don't have it now. I took him out. Now I have Zaha instead. So I would, if you don't, I see no point in investing in him at the moment. But if you have him, maybe keep. But I think there's more interesting players out there than Liverpool players at the moment, unfortunately, as a Liverpool fan. But yeah, I will play both Madison and Zaha in front of picking up a Liverpool midfielder at this point.
That shows what a season it is, doesn't it? That a Liverpool fan is coming on the podcast saying to play a Leicester player and a Crystal Palace player ahead of a Liverpool player.
And all my friends go like, you know, I have so many friends that, you know, have to have a certain amount of players in FPL from their team that they support. And right. I mean, I'm a sports athlete. I go for the win. Doesn't really care. You have to go for the players.
I love that mindset.
You know, people like it or not, but yeah, it's about the points. And unfortunately,
you've got no Liverpool players at the moment, have you?
No, none. Oh. None. And they're not coming back until that sloppy midfield is finding their cohesion again. And then I'm back on the wagon.
That sloppy midfield.
Oh, that's tough. That is tough.
Yeah, it's good head versus heart stuff though, that, isn't it? That's like... Yeah.
That's something you struggle with, isn't it, Sam?
Oh, 100%, Kelly. That's something I massively struggle with. Like, I have to have a Spurs player in my team. Like, for large parts of last season, I had Ollie Skip in my team and he just sat as my third bench option on the basis that I just couldn't bear to look at my team without a Spurs player in it. I mean, this year I've got Kane, so it's working out okay. But, you know, I, as a Luis Diaz owner, I felt those emotions too, Kelly, on the weekend. Like, I was really annoyed that he hadn't started him because I was like, I don't care that you've got back late from international duty. Where's my
FPL problem,
points?
Is it?
No, get in the team. Come on. And then he came on. And actually, I thought when he came on, he was good. And he did play well. But my issue with Luis Diaz, again, is the Liverpool team. And they're not quite hitting the heights. And I look across the cheaper options, you know, similar sort of price point, but slightly cheaper, with the likes of Madison, who I do own, Zaha, who I don't, Bowen, who I've just sold. And now I'm looking at thinking, have I made a horrible mistake, Jared? Would you like to come back into the fold again?
You can't bring him back in this quick. You can't.
I know, Kelly, I can't. I feel like I'm doing the Jared hokey cokey. Like, you can't send him out 1 week and bring him back the next. But I might prioritize Zaha this week. He feels like the priority transfer that I should make. So Luis Diaz is the one I'm looking at in my midfield thinking, well, although I trust you, I trust the Liverpool team far less in these two fixtures that they have coming up than I do other teams across the league. So whilst I'm not saying Lewis is going to disappear from my team forever, I think he probably will be the one that is my weakest point for this week.
See, I'm struggling with the fact that I've got 5 Arsenal and City players combined. I was going to do Diaz to Madison because I don't yet have Madison. But then I'm thinking, well, actually, Diaz is going to play in game week 12. But then do I want to get rid of Martinelli? Because I can't afford to go from Martinelli to Madison to set me up for game week 12, but then you miss the points. It's such a kind of conundrum, isn't it? And that's mainly the reason that Diaz is going to have a stay of execution in my team.
Yeah, it's a tough one, definitely, because, you know, I also wouldn't be taking out Martinelli ahead of that game against Liverpool. I think, you know, Arsenal are likely to score. So this is the dilemma. You don't want to take out any City players ahead of a game against Southampton. Arguably, you don't want to take any Arsenal players against Liverpool because defensively they've been really struggling this season. So I'm in the same boat as you. I've got 5. I've got Martinelli. I've got Jesus. I've got my 3 City players that I've already mentioned. I'm going to hold all 5 of them through this week. Take out Luis Diaz, I think. And then know that going into the Liverpool Man City game in game week 11, that's when I'm going to start taking out my City defenders. So I'm going to start with Edison. That brings me down for 1 extra player that I don't need for game week 12. And then work my way through so that I've got enough players for game week 12. And then hit the wildcard button and change up my City assets at that point.
Just me once again using the podcast to sort out my own team. I'll be doing exactly the same now because I've got the same number of Arsenal and City players. I've made no bones about it. This is what I do on this podcast. Let's quickly touch base on the budget midfielders then before we move on, because it feels like we've discussed so many of the midfielders. There's so much to talk about in this position. Who's the best budget option, would you say, at the moment, Jules? When I say budget, I'm kind of looking at probably 7 or 6.5 million and below.
That's a very good question. I think
come on, Mr. Wildcard, you must be looking at them.
Yeah, I mean, The thing is, I like Alexis Mac-Allister a lot. But when I say a lot, I think he's an unbelievable player. The thing is, he's playing deeper and deeper because he's that good. And I think De Zerbi is going to use him so deep at Brighton. So I had him on my list, realizing that it's not going to bring me much point, unfortunately, I think. So I'm not really sure, to be fair. I haven't really looked that much at budget players yet.
Oh, look, he's gone for the big price players, hasn't he? Classic Jules. Sam, help him out. He needs some cheap players in there.
Well, okay, so if you can get through game week 12, I still think Martinelli is probably the best of the budget players. He's just about still classed as a budget, in my opinion, although he's taking those price rises. Andreas Pereira at Fulham probably still looks like a nice option, but the Mitrovic thing is a bit of a deal breaker for me because he doesn't look as good when Mitrovic isn't playing. That kind of relationship between the two of them is what we like. Then you've got some other players who are kind of interesting. So Jacob Murphy started last week for Newcastle, mostly as a result of Newcastle just having a lot of injury problems. But Jacob Murphy has had points in every game week so far this season. So if you want your budget midfielder to literally be that and be somebody that can be sitting on your bench and bring you a couple of points here and there, particularly in game week 12, then maybe he's an option. Conor Gallagher's an interesting one for me. 14 minutes in game week 9, scores the winning goal. I wonder now whether actually he might get some more minutes under Graham Potter at Chelsea, and we might just see a turnaround for him because he's going to be full of confidence now. So he's one I'm watching. I'm going to watch very carefully to see what happens in game week 10 against Wolves. And if Conor Gallagher gets a start at some point in the next couple of weeks, then he'll be one I'll probably target on wildcard.
One name on my list, sorry, I forgot, is the Paquet. Lucas Paqueta. I've got a lot of love and a lot of time and a lot of passion for the Paquet. And I think that West Ham, now I'm hoping that, you know, they play a bit more attacking football as we saw with Bowen and Scamacca finally starting ahead of Antonio and all that nonsense that David Moisey, our friend Moisey, did before. Now the Paquet could be good. You know, it's 6 million, it's 1.3% ownership. I really want the Paquet to do well. So maybe.
Is he one of your friends as well, the fact that you call him the Paquet?
It's not as in, not as close as the others, but yeah, we kind of know each other from his Ligue 1 time, you know, when he was at Lyon.
Okay, yeah, I knew that you'd have passed at some point and you would have become acquaintances or friends. We're still waiting for one of these friends to come on the podcast.
That's why I do, Shetil. I've got, you know, a lot of superstar footballers friends, you know.
Shetil, for you, budget midfielders, any names to throw into the mix? I notice you, like me, have got Andreas Pereira as your kind of fifth midfielder.
Yeah, I use him when I need him. What do we think about Leon Bailey? Father's been looking strong.
Sam liked him at the beginning of the season, didn't you, Sam? You were a big fan of Bailey.
I did. I was a big fan of Leon Bailey at the beginning of the season, and he never quite lived up to the hype, but not really through any fault of his own, but because Gerrard kept subbing him off or benching him, and I just didn't feel like you were getting any consistency. But he does seem to be picking up the minutes now, and he does seem to be performing much better in these last couple of game weeks than he was in the early part of the season.
Exactly. And they have Nottingham Forest coming up, Fulham, Brentford, next three out of the four games. I think might be a return or two there. So I'm keeping him in on his budget and letting him in play, and also need him for the more important game week 12, where I'm having a lot of City and Arsenal players that need to go. So he'll be my go-to guy there from budget for those coming three out of four game weeks.
Yeah, and those players, I feel like we should actually call the 4.5 or the below five, like the budget players, because they're the ones that ultimately most weeks are probably going to stay on our bench. So Pereira a few times this season, I think, has been too good to be left there and has been in our starting 11s. Let's end the podcast then, which has been quite a chunky chat so far on only one position. Tells you all you need to know about the problems we've got there. Captains and transfers, Shetil, is how we always end the podcast. Firstly, I'm guessing you're going to say, well, if you don't say Haaland, I'm going to do a mic drop.
Well, you have to have him, right?
And so, you have to captain him, don't you?
You have to have him, and he's going to be the guy, for sure. I mean, I don't see, well, how I look at it is if 60, 65, 70% has him as a captain, you have to, right? Just because you're possibly losing out. And I feel the risk of losing out those points is higher than captaining someone else to try to be the differential captain pick. You just can't afford not having him as a captain.
Okay, and what are your transfer plans? Is it just James Maddison in for you?
Yeah. So I had two transfers. I'm using those to get two back for the empty game week. So I'm bringing Maddison in. Awesome game week last week. I hope it continues. And then I'm bringing Cher in. And for that to work at to remove Bailey. It looks like I totally forget about that. I spoke to Warner about it.
But now, you're great, but
yeah, I was So Bailey is out, and Madison is in, and to get that million, I took out Reece James. Reece James is out, and I see
he was my transfer in.
I know.
In this week.
And I'm just, I got a good feeling there. So he's out and Sherry's in. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a gamble. And that's
selling Reece James is an interesting one, given the performance he put in the Champions League and the lack of Wolves attacking players right now.
I know. And then again, it's more of a feeling of a long-term plan into getting possibly two Arsenal defenders after Game Week 12.
It's all about the long-term plan. Sometimes it is pain in the short term for the long-term gain. However, no offence, as someone that's brought in Reece James this week, I really hope that he hauls this weekend. Sorry, Shettle. We're all out for our own teams, aren't we? Sam, what about your transfer plans? And like I said, do I even need to ask captaincy?
No, I'm going to captain Haaland. I don't actually think that there's another standout captain. Like last week, I thought there was with Salah, but this week I don't think there is. I think it's Haaland or... I mean, you could argue KDB, I suppose, is a good captaincy option this week, given he didn't play any minutes in the Champions League, had a full rest. I suppose that there is an element of...
Isn't he going to be teeing up Erling Haaland to score?
Well, yeah, that's what I think. For me, it's Haaland. And then, you know, if you really want to go rogue, then pick another City player. But I don't see another really standout pick right now for the captain's armband this week. In terms of transfers, I think... somewhat reluctantly, I'm probably going to sell Luis Diaz this week. It does feel a little bit like he is the form Liverpool player, arguably, right now. But I don't like Liverpool in terms of the way that they're playing at the moment. So I think I'm going to sell him. And I think I'm going to bring in Wilfried Zaha. I just think the way the Palace fixtures are, he looks like he's going to go on a nice run. He's got set piece threat in terms of penalties. So I think it's going to be Diaz to Zaha this week for me.
And Jules, I've left you till last because you've got the most decisions to make. Tell us roughly how your wildcard team is looking. We are aware that you are very indecisive.
Yeah.
So it's likely to change between Thursday morning when we're recording and the deadline.
For sure. I mean, captain would be Haaland, of course. And then I'm thinking Madison, I like Trossard, as we said. I like Diogo Dalot, the packet we mentioned. So there's a few there. The front three, we stay the same. And then I think about Jesus and Haaland later. This is why I'm obviously so bad at this game, because I just think, I think about them later. Kieran Trippier maybe at the back as well. Still no Joao Cancelo with his number seven. By the way, Nico Williams is number seven as well. It took me a long time to realize. So no Nico Williams either anymore in my team.
Also, as Forrest's recent form also helped sway that decision, not just his shirt number.
Yeah, true, to be fair.
Okay, so I think there I counted about 8 to 10 players. So you've still got a fair few players to fit in that squad.
No, I need a lot of thinking more.
Okay, well, the very best of luck to you doing that. A reminder, you need to get that done by 1:30 on Saturday. There's no early game this weekend, so a slightly later deadline for us. Saturday, 8th of October, 1:30 UK time. Get those teams sorted and Jules, get that wild card sorted. Shettle, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we've given you some help as well, even if we all just at the end completely said, why have you taken out Reece James?
Well, yeah, I know. Well, thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, it was great to have you on. Hopefully we'll get you back on later in the season as well. As always, thanks to Sam and Jules for joining me. Which games are you at this weekend, Sam? Are you seeing Spurs? Are you going to Brighton?
No, not going to Brighton. There's train strikes going on, isn't
there? Oh, gosh, yeah, of course. Yeah, really hard for football fans this weekend. Jules, what about you? Where does work take you?
Arsenal Liverpool for me on Sunday,
which should be
not as easy as the game against Spurs for Arsenal.
That should be
the last seconds of the podcast. There he goes. I think we'll end it right here. I hope everyone has a great weekend and most importantly, a great FPL points filled weekend. 1:30 PM once again is that deadline on Saturday, and we'll be back next Thursday. In the meantime, don't forget that Off the Bench will return on Tuesday, so do check that out. And of course, everything else you need is on fantasy.premierleague.com. Bye bye.